You're listening to KC Forum with Kathy Quinn, public affairs with an entertaining spin.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Welcome to KC Forum right here on this radio station. Every single Sunday, you know the drill. Kathy Quinn here, normally on Fox 4. In the weekends, I like to bring you public affairs with an entertaining spin. And what we're going to talk about this weekend is AAA in Kansas is starting a really cool thing. They're pumping it up. The message about don't drive and use your cell phone at the same time. You know how people drive with taking a look at their different apps and things like that. No. Let's don't do it. And we're going to be talking to Sean Stewart about why you shouldn't. And we all know we shouldn't, but, you know, he's just going to kind of give us some statistics. Also, one of my favorite subjects, Veterans Community Project. What are they doing? Well, they built a village over there at 89th and Troost, and we'll kind of get an update. I think they got more coming up. First up, I want to welcome Maria Stone Street here to the radio show. Maria, how are you today?
Hey, I'm good, thanks, Kathy. Love being here.
Yeah, this early in the morning, 6:30 on a Sunday, huh?
Yeah, well, yawning.
You know what's kind of cool is you are working with Building Hope for Autism, and you were here in the metro for many, many years. You moved away, and now you are back. What is it like to go away and come back and see what home is like?
Well, that has been, like, incredible because Kansas City has changed so much, and I just love it. It's just amazing to see all the changes and be able to take advantage of all the neat things that are here now. I just love it.
Let's talk about Building Hope for Autism. This is your passion.
Totally.
Tell us all about it. What is autism? I don't understand, you know. There's so many different definitions of it. What is it?
That is such a hard question to answer because I think for everyone it's a little different, but basically it just boils down to a communication disorder. And I'm so lucky to be able to help families that I've seen go through in my career, 25 plus years now, being an autism specialist, and being on the side of being able to help. I helped before, but not in a monetary way.
Autism 25 years ago was not, I'm not saying well accepted or understood. 25 years later, how is it different? How is it much more, not accepted, but much more people go, oh, okay, there's much more education out there.
Yeah, so much more education out there. I think people are more empathetic. Education, that's huge. That's the biggest thing is educating people. Because when you don't know things, you don't know. That's just it. So when you educate someone on what something is or what something looks like, then they're better equipped to handle or deal with something like that. And through education, when I first started in this business, in this career path, which special ed autism wasn't my first degree, and I was lucky enough to be able to go back to school and do, because I found what I loved, and then I got to do it. So I was so fortunate that way, having supportive parents and that, you know, wanted me to be happy in what I did. It was 1 in 10,000 kids were diagnosed with autism. Now it's, I think, 1 in 88, or
wow.
I think it's less than 100. It's less than 100. So that in itself is huge. More diagnosis, and there's different reasons for that too. It's a spectrum disorder now, so many more people fall on the spectrum than they did before. But there's also something in our environment that is causing it, too. And we know it's genetic, and there's no cure until they find out exactly what's causing it. They can't find a cure.
What do you do as a special ed person? Are there treatments? So, in other words, it's like you can't cure the common cold, but you treat it?
There's all kinds of different things. There's therapies and autism has a sensory component, so we get a lot of kids that need occupational therapy, see kids that need behavioral therapies and speech therapies. And at Building Hope, we want to help families when they get that diagnosis, that we can help find them where they need to go, and we can help financially with those therapies. And I'm just so fortunate to have found the founders of Building Hope for Autism, Paul Barnes. He's a local home builder here in Kansas City, and he takes the portion of his profits from the homes he builds and puts them back into the foundation. He has a grandson with autism, and Dr. Sean Sabin is a physician here in Kansas City. That's his wife, and she has a niece with autism, and they wanted to do something more. They saw the struggles that their families went through during the diagnosis stage, that it wasn't easy, and if insurance didn't pay for things, and if you weren't connected, how did you find certain resources? And they just want to help other families going through that. And my area in the autism field has always been wanting to get individuals with autism employment. And so we're looking at both of those areas, both critical areas in milestone areas in the life of someone with autism. So that's the other area we want to really work towards, is helping 75% of the kids with autism when they graduate from high school don't have jobs. And they can have jobs. They can work. And we want to work with businesses here in Kansas City and do what we can to help train them to support people with autism working and fulfilling jobs and feeling like they're contributing, because that's what they want to do. And oftentimes that's so hard because companies, businesses don't know that there's just little things that they could tweak to make that a reality. And so those are the things, and we're brand new, and we're in the fundraising, you know, portion right now to be able to do the things we want to do. Of course, we do have the initial funding of the homes that Paul builds, but we need more funding to continue and build the foundation that we want.
All right, so Building Hope for Autism, there is an event that's coming up August the 17th, 7 to 11, and kind of explain, it just sounds like a lot of fun. The opinions are going to play.
Yes.
It just sounds like a lot of fun. Explain what it is, please.
So so the Opinions, a great band, they are all physicians. Sean, like I said, our founder is a physician. She's been friends with some of the guys of the band for a while. And just mentioned that she was starting this foundation, and the next thing was like, oh, well, we'll do something for you. And so, boom, we have a fundraiser set up, and it's going to be at the Shack out on 135th and like 69 Highway right there when you get off. They use the event space at night, and so the Opinions are going to play. We're going to have a great silent auction. You can buy tickets. We have an Eventbrite set up. You can go to our Facebook page and find that link. And it's just going to be a really fun night to celebrate, just having a good time, dancing, listening to some great music, and all for a good cause, supporting the autism community in Kansas City.
And they love music, don't they, Maria? They love music.
Oh,
they love dancing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Who doesn't? I mean, right?
I know. I was going to say, I remember seeing you dance at, we did a live shot with you. What was the event? And you were dancing with all the ball players. I can't remember what it was.
Oh, Bobby Bell.
Yes, he was good.
Yeah.
He was good.
Dancing with Bobby Bell, yeah. He's a smooth operator. He's got the moves.
Well, I'm telling you, you can all, you know, go out and watch Maria dancing out at this Building Hope for Autism event. It's the wonderful fundraiser that's coming up. Okay, so I interrupted you talking about your dancing. So tell me what you were going to say.
But everyone, yeah, everyone loves to dance and sing. But
I have a nephew who's on the spectrum, and he loves to dance.
Oh,
He loves music, and he loves to dance.
Yeah, well, just like everyone, you know, some people like it, some people don't. Sometimes the noise is too much, and it's a sensory overload type thing. But I think a lot of times it's a how we use music too is an escape. We find our, you know, we can lose ourselves in listening to a great song, great lyrics, and we can find meaning for it. I think anybody can do that, which is, you know, that's one thing I love about music. I think it really is a good indicator on how much we are alike and what we all are, an inclusive instead of a division. And whenever I'm in a concert, I always look around and think, I know there's people here that don't think the same way I do, but look, we're all enjoying the same music and having such a great time together.
The universal language, Maria, right?
It truly is. truly is.
Basically, where do you want people to look for information on the fundraiser? Where's the best place?
Facebook.
Okay, Facebook. So we want you to go to Facebook if you want to find out more about this August the 17th. And it's going to be a lot of fun. And you're going to stay in tuned with us and let us know what goes on with your organization, because you see it's pretty young. When did it start?
We just started. We just got our nonprofit status 2 weeks ago. But we started our board meetings and everything in February. And I met the founders in November. So it went boom, boom, boom. It's like when you find the right fit, you know what's going to work, and we have just hit the ground running. So we're really excited to, we really want to build inclusion and connection to anyone who supports anybody here in Kansas City in the autism community. So other organizations, we want to reach out to them, let them know we're here to support them as well, because it's not a competition. We're all in this together.
Wonderful. I love that. Mario Stone Street, thank you so much. We'll check in with you, and good luck with the fundraiser.
Oh, thanks so much.
All right, we got more on the way. Stay with us.
Hang on. There's more on the way with Kathy Quinn and KC Forum.
I don't look any different than you, but I have type 1 diabetes.
You can't outgrow type 1 diabetes.
It's not caused by your diet. It's not caused by anything you did.
It's kind of hard to live with it.
It's not easy. I do need to check my sugar a lot, my levels.
If you see someone with an insulin pump or pricking their finger and you want to know more about T1D, just ask them.
T1D looks like me.
T1D looks like me.
Learn more about type 1 diabetes at jdrf.org.
If you're just tuning in, you are listening to KC Forum, Public Affairs with an Entertaining Spin. And we are going to pump you up right now with AAA Kansas. Actually, AAA pumps up distracted driving messaging. Yeah, Sean Stewart's here. He's going to tell us all about it. How are you today, Sean?
Doing great, Kathy. How are you?
I'm doing very well. And I think this is kind of a cool thing. I know this is going on in Wichita and Topeka. And, you know, we've got to keep our fingers crossed that the folks here on the Missouri side do it, because it's a great message. Let's talk about pumping up distracted driving messaging. How are you doing this?
Well, back in April, we introduced a distracted driving public awareness campaign that we refer to as Don't Drive Intoxicated, Don't Drive Intexticated. And the point we're trying to make with this campaign is that distracted driving, you know, driving with your phone, is just as distracting and impairing and potentially dangerous and deadly as drinking and driving. So we really want to get that message out to drivers to put the phone down and just focus on the road.
All right. Then, you know what? You say that. I mean, are there any stats out about this yet, or is it too soon?
Well, there's a, unfortunately, there's a lot of stats in terms of the impact of distracted driving, and a lot of people think these numbers are low, but 9 people each day are killed in the U.S., and 1,000 are injured in crashes where distracted driving occurred. So we're talking about some big numbers,
wow.
And a lot of people think those numbers are even underreported, because when you think about it, in a crash investigation, it's kind of hard to prove or determine that driver was distracted. You know, they may not report it, or if it's, you know, after the fact, unfortunately, if there's a fatality, that's often very hard for law enforcement to prove and investigate. So it's a big problem, and it's growing every day.
You know, everybody in our listening audience, raise your hands if you have seen someone with their cell phone as they're taking a left-hand turn. That I can't believe. They're waiting for the traffic to clear, and they're on their phones, way up looking at their phones. Yeah, I know everybody's raising their hands.
Yeah, I'm raising my hand.
I so try, and I'm pretty good at it. I put the phone down. You're supposed to. I mean, we do so many stories on this. And you know, how many stories have we done here in Kansas City when we do stories on highway crashes and, hey, they were text messaging, hey, they were on the phone, that type of thing. It is scary.
Yeah, it's really scary, and, you know, I get it. You know, I think we've all done it. Everybody you know, likes to be in connection with their office or their friends all the time with, with our devices. And, you know, unfortunately, it really does distract you, not only taking your eyes off the road, but potentially your hands off the wheel. And a big thing, even when you're just making a call during while you're driving, your brain is distracted. You're cognitively thinking about other things besides the road. So we recommend that you just don't use your mobile phone while you're driving. That's the best way and the safest way to do it. You know, put your phone down so you're not tempted to respond when you get messages in. You know, there are technologies, even on, you know, for example, on your iPhone, you can set up the do not disturb function. And so when your phone senses that you're connected by Bluetooth to your car, it will automatically send out a message saying that, hey, I'm driving, I'll respond when I get to where I'm going. So it keeps the notifications from coming through to your phone while you're driving. And that's something that you can just look up on your iPhone, do not disturb, and you have to manually set it up.
I know that that's funny that you say that. I know when you get that alert, you know, you have these alerts for everything. It's like you feel almost a responsibility. I got to answer it now. I got to look at it now.
Yeah.
And you know what? You don't. You really don't.
You don't. Yeah, we've kind of gotten to that point as a society, unfortunately, where, you know, everybody expects you to constantly be available and constantly respond. And, you know, I think we stress ourselves out for one thing, and we put ourselves at risk when we're driving for another. So, you know, just think about that before you do it. You know, would your family miss you if you're not around? You know, I hate to be, you know, that dramatic, but I talk to people every day who have been involved in crashes due to distracted driving. A lady I know in Larned, Kansas, her 22-year-old daughter was messaging on Snapchat and rear-ended a truck and unfortunately died from her injuries. She never saw it coming.
Oh, my gosh, that is awful. That's horrible. I can't, you know, and with young kids around. Talk about, though, this is the busy summer travel season, so this is the perfect time for your message. You know, don't drive intoxicated.
Yeah, exactly. It's a busy summer travel period for vacations. A lot of people are hitting the roads. The highways are really busy with cars and lots of campers and also lots of construction. So you've got a lot of issues on the road that you have to pay attention to. And if you're staring at your phone or, you know, setting up your navigation or whatever, you're taking your focus off of the road and putting yourselves and other drivers in lots of danger. You know, you think about, there's a lot of two-lane highways in Kansas and Missouri. And, you know, if you're looking at your phone, if you drift just a few feet over across the center line, that can be tragic in a matter of seconds.
Mm. You know, there was a recent survey that you guys put out. It said almost 70%, because remember I was asking everybody to raise their hands, almost 70% of Kansas drivers say they notice more drivers distracted by electronic devices than just 2 years ago. So you said it's becoming a real, real issue.
Yeah, it's definitely growing. People are saying that they're seeing more people driving. But on the other hand, the same time, those same people that we surveyed, 45% of them admitted to looking at their phones to read or send a text when they're behind the wheel. So it's almost like a do as I say, not as I do thing. People think they're invincible. They think they're bulletproof, that it's not going to happen to them. But, you know, like I said, I talk to these families and these victims who have been involved in crashes themselves or lost loved ones. So
sure,
it does happen to people every day. So, you know, just if we can just have people focus on it and think of it as the danger that it is, you know, that's what we're trying to get at.
You know, and what's scary too, summer vacation, we call, you know, the 3 months of summer, the 100 deadliest days. And this is when, between Memorial Day and Labor Day, and we've done stories on this before, teen drivers, oh my goodness, this is the top contributor to their fatal crashes. I mean, teen drive, they're on their phones,
yeah,
you know? That poor little girl.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And there was another story, just a month after the girl who died that I mentioned, a girl in Meade, Kansas, high school junior, same thing. She was messaging on Snapchat and rear-ended the back of a truck. She suffered serious injuries. Luckily, she survived them. But, you know, those are just life-changing injuries that you receive. And, you know, you don't think about it, but if you're looking down at a phone, the average is 4 to 5 seconds if you're looking down at a message or something. And if you're going only 55 miles an hour, you're covering the length of a football field in that time. So when you think about that, a lot can happen in the distance that's a football field or two football fields long if you're not looking at the road. You know, a truck can slam on their brakes, someone can pull out in front of you, someone can cross the center line, and if you don't see it, you can't react.
What I'm going to do right now, I want you to help me out with the tips to avoid distractive driving. And so put it away. How important is put it away?
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. You know, like we talked about, you know, it's distracting, especially when you're getting notifications, if you're getting messages that you're getting emails or Snapchat responses or likes or whatever the case might be. If you can turn those off, set up the technology on your phone so you're not distracted, and preferably put your phone away where you can't see it and it's not going to tempt you. Another thing is know where you're going in advance. A lot of people use navigation systems or mapping systems, and that's understandable, but if you can, you know, try to set those destinations up before you leave, and so you're not having to manipulate and type things in on your phone while you're driving. That's very dangerous. Another thing is if you need to respond to a call or send a text while you're driving, pull over so you're safely out of traffic, pull over into a parking lot or somewhere safe to take care of that. And then also, if you're riding with someone, ask your passengers to help. If you feel the need to respond to something or if you need to call someone or reroute your navigation, ask your passengers to help you out so you can focus on what you're doing, which is driving the car.
Perfect, perfect, perfect. We are talking to Sean Stewart. We could stay here all day and talk about this because you want to get the message across. How important, Sean, for people listening who are, you know, kind of listening to the interview a little bit, you want to tell them right now, Sean, why is it so important that they do not drive and use their phones or any electronic devices?
Well, what I like to think about is, you know, is that text or that Snapchat or that Instagram post or email or whatever it is that worth your life or the life of someone else? You know, I'm guessing that in almost every case it's not. So, you know, think about that. Put the phone down. Those messages are going to be there when you arrive. So we want to make sure that everybody arrives where they're going safely and preferably alive. So, you know, put your phone down, stop driving, and texticated, if you will, and, you know, focus on the road. You know, driving a car is dangerous. A 3,000-pound hunk of metal and plastic and all kinds of glass and everything, and they're dangerous. You know, it takes all that you can to focus on driving the vehicle and worrying about others on the road.
And so in Kansas and Wichita, if you go to a gas pump, what are you going to see you're going to pump people up. Tell me that.
Yeah, we've set up a new tactic. It's part of our communications campaign, the Don't Drive Intoxicated, Don't Drive Intexicated. And our latest tactic is putting this message at gas pumps. We have pump toppers, so signs at the top of the pump structure, and then we also have signs on the gas pump handles themselves. This is in select stations right now in Topeka and Wichita, and the point is just to have another touch point for drivers. You're kind of a captive audience while you're there pumping gas for a few minutes, so it's just another way that we want to try to get that message out to drivers and really make them think about it and hopefully put the phone down and focus on just driving.
Sean Stewart, you are wonderful. Thank you so much for helping get the message out, and we'll be checking in with you, you know, later on, see how things are going. All right, so you stay safe.
Thanks so much. Everybody drive safely now.
All right, we got more on the way. Stay with us.
Hang on, there's more on the way with Kathy Quinn and KC Forum.
T1D looks like my brother.
T1D looks like a friend.
Type 1 diabetes can be living in anyone.
Type 1 diabetes is when your pancreas doesn't produce insulin. It's not caused by your diet. It's not caused by anything you did.
Type 1 diabetes can be very serious.
Blindness, amputation.
Help JDRF find a cure today. Learn more about type 1 diabetes at jdrf.org.
If you're just tuning in, you are listening to KC Forum Public Affairs with an entertaining spin, and we are going to talk about Veterans Community Project. We talk about it a lot over the last year and a half, and Josh, it is so good to have you on the show.
It is great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Gosh, there's so many exciting things going on. All right, so the Veterans Community Project, I remember when there was nothing there, and I know, of course, you do too, 89th and Troost. And, all right, you're already into your third phase of tiny homes.
Yeah, that's right. And it has been, although it's been 2 years, it seems to go so fast. These were incredible. 26 houses built, and we've got 23 more to go.
Talk about the coffee partnership.
So this is an amazing partnership. So Green Beans Coffee, they reached out to us, and they said they just kind of wanted to start a conversation. Green Beans Coffee is really, really popular among those who serve because that's the coffee that's served on bases all around the world, and specifically it's served in Iraq and Afghanistan. So returning vets seeing Green Beans Coffee, it reminds them of the good times that they had overseas. I mean, it's a time of camaraderie, it's a time of brothership, but it's really, really hard over there. And when they were able to get that fresh cup of coffee from Green Beans Coffee, it really allowed them to feel like they were home thousands of miles away. And our tiny houses, we think it's just an amazing opportunity because the tiny houses are home too.
Well, what is so cool about it, you know, you had Brandon there earlier talking about what that meant because he actually had the coffee when he was overseas. And so he says it's like a cup of home.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love talking to him about it. He wasn't a coffee drinker, but when all the brothers are, and sisters that are serving together, they get together at the coffee shop on base, you're kind of compelled to join in. And he loves it. He can't get enough of it. This partnership means the world to him, and we know it's going to mean the world to the vets we're serving. It's an opportunity for them to come together, and that's, I mean, we say Veterans Community Project. Community is the heart of what we do.
You know what? What is so cool about it is you are trying to eradicate homeless veterans and with the tiny homes. Tell us about the mission statement. So for folks who are saying, what? VCP?
Yeah, our goal is to end veteran homelessness. And that goal starts and ends with the idea that we never say no to a veteran in need. We start with yes. So when any veteran who's struggling with PTSD, who's struggling with eating community, and at the heart of what we do is we house them. We have a tiny house village. We want to end veteran homelessness, and this city has responded amazingly well. They have gotten behind us, and we could not do it without them. We are completely privately funded, and it's because this city has said yes.
All right. The Veterans Community Project, you want to know more, go to Facebook, or you can go to 89th and Troost and take a look at their village. Thank you so much, and thank you to all of you for listening. I'm Kathy Quinn, and if you want to drop me a line, it's kathy.quinn@fox4kc.com. Thank you to Katie Connors, executive producer, and Drina Byrne, associate producer. We have Ed Walker getting us on the air and the voice, Doug Medlock. Yeah. And we couldn't do it without our elders' music. They allow us to use it. They have for years. All right. And remember, they're going on a cruise. You want to go on a cruise? Find out more. Go to eldersmusic.com. And remember to tune in next Sunday between 6:30 and 7 right here on this radio station. Until next weekend, see ya.
It's KC Forum with Kathy Quinn.